The title of this evening's message and Bible study is Elohim's Triple Pledge. As well, we're going to look at a double declaration that he makes, but it's God's triple pledge to you in a time of need. And we'll read from Isaiah 41, verse 9, beginning there, and verse 10. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the wonders of your word and how much it does for us. And we just pray you would illuminate your word tonight, even as we look in the original language and even go back to the actual language it was written in with the word pictures. We just pray that you'll help our understanding and help us to get a better view of exactly what it is you do for us as the mighty God. In your Son's wonderful name we pray. Amen. Before we get into looking at Elohim's name in the ancient pictorial language, we're going to look at some of the things he does for us and leave his name for last. Well, what we're looking at tonight is what is called Paleo-Hebrew, and it's actually the language in which the Ten Commandments were given. All of the Torah was written in this. They're little word pictures. We're going to look at some of them tonight. It's absolutely just amazing that some of you have never seen this before, that it was actually a picture language. In many ways, like Chinese is a picture language. And you'll even see where some of our letters actually came from this picture language, a few of them. In Babylonian captivity, Israel adopted the Aramaic alphabet, where they get their modern letters. We call them modern Hebrew, or those capital letters, but they actually got that. It's identical to Aramaic. And sometimes when you pick up a Hebrew book, you're actually looking at Aramaic if you know the language, and sometimes you find out the hard way. But what we're looking at is a language that goes back beyond this. And so let's just dive right into this as we look at what God does for his servants. Let's look at the word servant. So we'll just go ahead and take this. We're looking at the word servant. That's who we are, God's servant. And in Hebrew, this is Eved. And if you're looking at the Hebrew letters, you have the ayin, the bet, and the dalet. Alright, so we'll get right into this. The ayin is an eye. Just look just like that with a little dot in the middle of it. And then you've got the tent. This is a tent floor plan. See the entrance of the tent is like a top view. And so it stands for a tent or a house. And the Hebrew word for house is bet. It's where the letter comes from. It means a house, and most of you know that. But the reason is because of this tent floor plan. And then you have the dalet, which is like a little upside down triangle. It's just a flap. It's the flap of a tent door. So looking at each of these letters usually has around three meanings to it. And as you look at the words, you can pick out sometimes it has a combination of the words or sometimes a specific word. But here, for I means to watch. The I means to watch. And then with the house, this is a house or a tent, the same thing. And the door can mean entrance. It can also mean move. because you move in and out of the door. So what a servant is, an ebed, is one who watches after his master's house and moves in and out the door. You know, because he's not only responsible for the inside, but all around. So there we have the servant. So these are the little pictures, these are the alphabetic pictures that Hebrew first came from. Now there is perhaps even an older portion of this from an earlier time called Proto-Hebrew. But in all the archaeological diggings today, they find this alphabet, 22 letters, and they find it in three stages that it changed in. So these letters actually have variations. We sent out on the flyer was the next period that the alphabet appeared. It letters alter over time, and we'll show you that in a minute. Even like the D, if you turn that over on its side, what is it? What does it look like? It looks like our D, right? So anyway, there we have it. Is the servant is one who moves about his master's house. Now aren't we servants in our father's house? We are members of God's household of faith. And we're servants in Messiah's house. And we are to be responsible. Now, let's look at, we'll look at the next word, fear. So he says, thou art my servant. Fear thou not. So really, what we see following this is why God comes to help his servant, that he's in a time of fear and needs his master's help. So, fear, and it's the word yare. Yare. And then if we look at the Hebrew letters you're used to seeing, is the resh. Like that. Okay, the U, the resh, and the aleph, yare. Now, let's look at the beautiful pictorial language here. Here's your yod. The arm, upper arm, forearm, and the hand. Now, it could be a closed hand or an open hand. Closed hand basically means to work. Open hand means to worship. But then we have the resh. The man's head. That's the profile. Just give you a little dot of the eye. And so that's why you see even the modern resh has the curve to it, just like a man's head. And then we have the aleph is an ox head. Okay? So this is a hand. Actually, it gives you the whole arm. The arm, and the head, and the ox. So here with the hand, this is a hand. Head. And then this means strong, leader, first or leader, firstborn. But it has the idea of strong. But what we have here is something interesting going on. A person has his hand on his head and loses strength here. So what you have here is the loss of strength. And fear is what goes on it's a natural response in people. But with God, he has supernatural strength. So with him comes the opposite of fear, comes peace. And so fear is what's in man's head, and then strength is what we're getting to, is what's in God's hand. So this is the difference, is what God is doing. But so when we get bad news, what do? We put the hand to the head, don't we? Hand goes right to the head. And the worse it gets, you put both hands on the head, or in a physical time, you cover your head in war. And it's just a natural response. So what you had in many of these words was they were trying to draw out an idea. And so God is the creator of this language, we know. As you look through the Bible, you see trees and cows and rivers and the sun, and you see natural elements, and God teaches through nature. He teaches in a literal way. The Greeks taught it in concrete, in abstract ways, faith, love. I mean, a lot of these things are abstract, but when you look at the concrete things of what's going on, we get a fuller example of what God intends. Now, do you know how many times "fear not" is in the Bible? Many of you might know this. 365 times. Plenty of people have counted it. And that's one "fear not" for each day of the year. And that was familiar words of the Savior, "fear not." He said that more than just on the stormy sea, but it might have been a daily occurrence, you know, in all the places he went. Andrew said, "Oh no, what are we going to do now after we're out of food and these people are reporting, there's already reports they're fainting out there." Andrew, "fear not." And that might have been Yeshua's favorite words. But fear can make a person weak and powerless. And so not only are we servants, but as we'll see in a moment, we're more, you know, servants go into the battle mode. Abraham had 317, 318 servants, something like that. The time came that they became battle soldiers. So God is interested in helping us perform our duty as his servants, as well as when it comes time for battle. Now, notice here in your verse, he says, "Fear thou not," and here's the first I am with thee. His first declaration. This is not one of his pledges, this is one of the I ams. I am with thee. And herein lies our strength, knowing that he's with us. We seem all alone, even if other people are around us, we find no strength from them. But God wants us to know that we can find strength, that he is present. So he says, "Fear not, I am with thee." But that's the first bit of help he brings, is just a simple reminder that he's here. So let's go and look at our next word is dismayed. And what are some of your translations in your Bible? Bewilderment might be one. Who's got something different than dismayed? Anybody else has anything different? Dismayed. Well, yeah, it's very sad. So, sometimes we have to go back deeper into the word to find out what it is, but it's and what it means, sha'ah. Okay? And you have the sheen. And the ayin and the hay. Okay? So, what we've got here, and the sheen, this is funny looking. It's just little two front teeth. You know how your teeth are rounded on it like that, and it's two front teeth. Now later it changed. It as once we say this is the oldest form. And then you have the ayin again. The I. Now, that looks like a pitchfork, you know, but it's not. That is a man with his hands raised and the head right there, okay? And so looking at what these words mean here, let's just draw it out. These are teeth and an eye. And this is a man with his hands raised, but the idea behind it is to look or reveal, but the idea as well is not just look, but look at me. It's someone trying to get someone's attention. Look at me. And you have the phrase in Hebrew, hineni, behold. You have the saying, behold, your servant is here. Hine, behold me, your servant is here. That's what Isaiah said, and so forth. But what you have here is a person, and by the way, you see these words. Actually, the picture represents the teeth, but the idea behind it is to one concept is to press. If a person is, they you grit your teeth when you're nervous or you know, under extreme stress and emotion. If you ever seen someone get angry and they grit their teeth, you're familiar with that. So what they're doing, they're pressing their teeth together. And that's what we have going here, on here with a person that is dismayed. They're staring at the problem. They're pressed in their spirit, and you see, both of these mean look. You know, this, remember, the eye means to watch, and this means look. So it's someone that is pressed in their spirit, that is looking and watching and looking at the problem. You see, you've got this concept twice of looking, and it's someone that cannot take their eyes off of a problem. And that's when you get out of the spirit. You're not calm. You're fearful. You're too focused on the problem. Peter, when he walked on the stormy sea, and the scriptures are very careful to tell us why he sank or began to sink, because he paid too much attention to the waves, and he got his eyes off the Savior. So instead, the servant, instead of being fearful and focusing on the problem, we need to focus on Elohim, on our God. And here's the second I am. He says, "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I am thy Elohim." So he says, get your eyes off the problem and get your eyes on me. We crack open a Bible, or we get on our knees to sit and pray, or go walk in nature and get away from everything and try to get focused on God. And so, no matter where you are, what you're going through, right, wherever you are, sitting or standing, walking, you can just take it to prayer. Whatever, when things are overcoming you, you just take it to prayer, and you begin to focus on God and on the fact that He is with you. And this is a really incredible thing, what He says here. We're going to be looking at getting more out of your Bible tomorrow on this message, looking in the Bible reading. And that little phrase, "for I am thy God," is so encouraging and uplifting. God's boasting that I am your God. You know, we often tell our children, don't worry about something, that we've got it taken care of. And God's making His boast that He's here to help you. But we need to just keep our minds focused on the fact that God is always present. We know He's omnipresent and omniscient. He knows everything. He knows it before it even happens. So He's already worked out a solution, hasn't He? Yet we take it to ourselves to worry, to get in the middle of it, and to try to sort it out, because we cannot see down the road. But we need to just look at Him. So let's see what he's going to do next here. He says, "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." And then he says, "I will strengthen you." All right, now here's God at work now. He's going to strengthen us. That's good news, isn't it? He's going to strengthen us. He's so good at that. "I will strengthen thee." This word is amatz. But it's solid. Amatz. And that's the aleph. And the mem. And the tzadik, a funny looking thing. All right. So, aleph, and there's the ox head, right? And then we've got this mem. Now that's where we get our M from, without a little tag on it right there. It's our mem. And the tzadik looks kind of funny. That's a very strange looking thing. It looks like a chair. But that's a man laying on his side with a bow or a stick in his hand. It's a symbol of a hunter. Someone that's lying in wait. So here we have the ox head. Which symbols strength or strong. strong leader firstborn. All right, this men means it's a picture of rough water, and so it can represent chaos. It can also represent blood. In this case, it's the chaos. But it's also might, because, see, water is mighty. As we saw that, let's change this to mighty. See, it has about three meanings. Yes, it does mean chaos, but water is so mighty, it can move a city, right? We saw that in Japan. Water is mighty. It messed Peter up. He was walking on water. There's the Savior. He's going to run and give him a hug. But he couldn't even make it that far because the might of the water overwhelmed him. Can you imagine that, thinking more of the water than the Master standing on the water? So God says He will strengthen us. He will make us like a strong, mighty hunter. I will amatz you. I will strengthen you. He wants His servants ready for battle. The time comes, and the battle might be any number of things. It doesn't mean that you have a shield and spear and that type of thing, but there comes the time when the servants must go into battle, and we are in a spiritual battle. Paul paints that picture very clearly. And we often think that it's a physical thing, but we're in often find ourselves in spiritual battle. We're always in a spiritual battle, whether we know it or not. Sometimes we just we find out, oh, the battle's on. This is not fun, but it's a necessary part of the journey. So then he says, "I will help you." Let's do a little erasing here. Azar. I will help you. It's good to get some help from somebody that's really good at helping, knows exactly how to go about it. I will help you. We sang about that tonight. My help comes from the Lord. Then we have design. The resh. Ein, the Zion, and the resh. So we go with the Ein, the I. Now, this is a bit of a funny letter here. This is a mattock, like a tool that you would use for digging an implement. So here we have the idea of watching. But see, remember these word pictures sometimes have different similar ideas. So this means, the eye means to, you, this is, you're not going to understand it at first. It also means to shade. Why? Well, the Hebrew word for a fountain, you know, water that bubbles out of a ground, a spring, is an ein. Like the Dead Sea, you have Ein Gedi, and you have other eins. And it's like a little hole in the ground. It's like an eye. That's where the water bubbles up out of a little hole in the ground. But so wherever you find water or a fountain, a spring, you find trees growing. So an ein, a fountain, which is what that also pictures, is that's where your shade is. But then this implement can mean to, it can mean to cut. It can also represent food, but in this case it represents nourish, because you are nourished with food. And then we have the head. So what is God saying when He says that I will help you? I will shade you, and it also means surround. That's when you get out of the sun, you want to be surrounded by the shade. If you're standing right on the edge of the shade, you can still feel the heat. But it means to shade, surround, but here He's going to nourish us. So what you have is a picture of someone that is like faint, that is weak, that is overcome with the element, and God pledges to shade and surround you and nourish your head. Now, we have a very beautiful picture of this from our great shepherd. It's where we're going with Elohim, is the story of the Good Samaritan. The man was very poor in bodily health and laying out there in that desert sun near Jericho, and the Good Samaritan comes along. And what's the first thing you do with a person? You prop their head up. You cover them. You shade the head. Really, that's what it gets down to. If your body is not that big, it can only shade a person's head. But you shade that person's head and protect them and surround them and nourish the head with water or food. King David, they were going into battle and they found an Egyptian servant to one of the Philistines, and they gave him food to eat and nourished his head and got him back up to strength. So I occasionally need some nourishment for my head as the week goes by. You know, it's a mental game. The mind is the battleground when the evil one attacks us. The battle is not always with physical illness, but it's the mind. And so, in fact, when it comes to fear, it's all in the mind. Is fear real? No. It's the way you're responding to something. But this is a beautiful picture of Jesus being the good shepherd and the good Samaritan, and he helps us when we're downcast. And then we have that beautiful scripture of Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from where my help comes. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The word is Yahweh. My help comes from Yahweh. There are other gods by other names, and we don't pray to those gods. Allah, and the list goes on. Then we have Psalm 146. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. But putting in the Hebrew names, happy is he that hath Elohim of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in Yahweh his Elohim. So Elohim is just a generic term for God, but which God are you talking about? You know, so with the rise of Islam around the world going into every nation, when we pray to God, you know, we tend to want to call his name out, but we can call him the Father of our Lord Jesus. You can call him Yahweh, or you can call him Abba. But then he says, I will uphold you. Let's look at this word. Tamak. Not Tumak, but Tamak. With a het. So he's going to uphold us. This is one of the most beautiful pictures here. I love this one. You got the tet and the mem and the final cough. Okay? Tamak. Let's write it out and transliterate it. Remember, I've got copies of this up here. Tamak, with the breath sound after it. So we have the letter tet. And so, originally it was the upright cross symbol, okay? Later on it was laid on its side like an X. But there you have that, and it means sign, because it's the sign of the covenant. But it also means to mark. It represents a mark. And there's the mem again. Once again, water is mighty, so it's a picture of might. And then you have the final cough, or the cough, and that is a hand. Okay? The hand can represent work. You work with your hand. It can represent praise. Okay? But I found this very strange. It has four meanings, this hand. Actually, another one is throw. You have to have a hand to throw with. But it also means tame. How do you tame someone with your hand? You put your hand on the back, rub it in a circle and pat. You can calm a person down, you know. How do you calm a baby? You've got to use your hand. And you just rub them, pat them. There's something taming about the hand. You know, when we see each other at a distance, you throw up the hand. If you're going to meet someone and you're not on real good terms, that the person that's not on good terms with you is not going to throw up the hand. all is not well. They're not wishing you well. They're not taming your spirit. And you start looking. In fact, this is one of the concepts behind, well, we've seen the American Indians. They throw up the hand and they say, how, right? What are they actually doing? There's a couple of things going on, but just one of those is, it's a sign that there's nothing in my hand. You know, if your hand's closed, you don't know if there's a rock in it. But if you show the hand and it's empty, it's a symbol of peace. And the tame means calm. So when God says, I will uphold you, He's saying, I will mark you with might and calm. I will tame your spirit and bring your strength back where you'll be mighty. You'll be one that is marked with strength and calm. And it's comforting to be around someone like that that has those characteristics, that they still have strength. That was a picture of Moses. He was calm, yet he was strong. And that's the idea behind the word meek. It doesn't mean that you're powerless. It means your power is under complete control. And that's what we're challenged with on a somewhat daily basis, right? Controlling our tameness, our calmness, our spirit. And how does He say, I will uphold you? With the right hand of my righteousness. So this is His hand of blessing. The right hand is the hand that you bless people with, and the hand that's stronger, the arm that's stronger, and God's going to hold us up with that and bless us with His right hand. So, God, Elohim, He'll do this for all of His servants. He'll make you an able servant, able to move in and out of His house, and He'll draw your attention to Himself. He'll get you to look at Him when you're overcome with the worries, and He'll make you strong in battle, and He'll make you calm in the midst of the battle. You do have to have a good head on your shoulders in wartime. You can't be, in fact, you cannot operate out of fear. You make mistakes. There has to be a certain amount of calm and good collected decisions made. Now, finally, we'll get to the third part, looking at Elohim's name, the word picture of His name. Now, remember, He says, I am thy God. There are many gods. Satan, Lucifer, is called the god of this world. So God is just the generic term of a ruler. So, but He says, I am thy God. I am with thee. Let's count the I's. I am with thee. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee. Five I's. Five is the number of grace. And so grace, when God arrives, grace has arrived. And we have these five I's, or the three I wills, and the two I am. This is really, really beautiful. I've spent some time getting it all in writing with the little word pictures in there for you, so you can have this to take home. Now, Yahweh is His one and only name. Some would say Yahuwah, like Yehuda, but collectively most people just say Yahweh. But let's look at His name here, the word picture of His name. All right. And that'll tell us more about Him. Elohim. And we'll spelling it backwards is right to left. And then you have the final men, that's the Yod. So, the Aleph, the Lamed, the He, and the Yod, and the Mem. Okay, so we all know what the Aleph is, right? It's the ox head. Then you have the shepherd's staff, that's what the Lamed is. It's actually a curvy stick, it went always straight. And the He, there's that man again with his arms raised up. And the Yod, you know what that is? That's the open hand. And then the final Mem, the Mem, is that mighty water again. So, just looking at each of these, here the Elohim is presented as a strong leader, okay? And He is first. Strong, also powerful, because the firstborn was given all the power. The firstborn was given all the authority. So God is the one who is the leader. He's strong physically in every way. He can shake the earth. That's pretty strong. And then he has the power, he has the authority. Yeshua is Elohim. He says, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. That's a beautiful picture of just how strong and powerful he is. But all these attributes, strong, powerful, a leader, speak of our Almighty Shepherd, the Good Shepherd, Yeshua. And in his incarnation alone, he was strong enough to go without food for 40 days, strong enough to resist all the temptations of the devil, strong enough to resist criticism without giving the same thing back, strong enough to walk on water, strong enough to cast out demons, strong enough to cast out a legion of demons, strong enough to endure scourging and to endure the cross until it was his time to die. And then finally he was strong enough to endure death and get back up again. That's pretty incredible. That talk about a person with power. Don't lose sight of that word power. What did he tell Pilate? He says, you can't put me to death. You have no authority but what God gives you. And he says, I have the power. I have the authority to lay my life down, and I have the authority to take it up again, to get up again. And then so with the llama as a shepherd's staff, this means to bind. Let's just put power on here. Power for the ox head. The llama to bind. Now, you don't think of binding something with the shepherd's staff. But if the sheep was having trouble getting up a hill, the shepherd could take that shepherd's crook and put it around the back leg and just pull it on up the hill. Or as you know, if it was over the edge of a cliff and it was stuck, he could pull it up like that. And so, but it, the shepherd basically is bound to his hand. The shepherd without a stick is going to be in trouble. He's going to find himself without his tools to work with. So it was bound to the shepherd, but at times it could be bound to the sheep. Now, looking at this word bind or yoke, I know a stick, a shepherd's staff is not a yoke, but you know what yoke means. That means to bring something to yourself. Yeshua said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So there's a third idea behind here. Yoke, bind, teach. What has the shepherd's staff got to do with teaching? Well, shepherd's got to teach his sheep all sorts of things. He's got to teach them what he's up to and what he's about. But he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly at heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. So there you have all three of those concepts here, to bind and yoke and to teach. He wants to teach us something. And if we're bound to Yeshua's word, he can teach us some things. And then the letter hey, the person with the upheld hands, you know, it means to look. Put all these together in just a moment. It means to look. The good shepherd looks after you with compassionate eyes. He once lost a sheep in Jericho named Zacchaeus. And the scripture says in Luke 19, it says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw it. Jesus could have passed by in the mass of the crowd and missed this guy up in the tree, but he looked at him. So the shepherd's always looking after his sheep. But I never realized until I just broke it down into the word pictures that this has every idea has to do with a shepherd. We know that, generally speaking, it's the first name that God gave in creation, and we take it to mean the Creator God. But it's actually the picture of a shepherd. And, you know, he causes us to look at him. Remember that. It's not only that he looks at us, but he causes us to look to him. In Isaiah 45, verse 22, he says, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. For I am God. I am Elohim. He's talking about him specifically, and there is none else. So, then the letter Yo with the hand, the open hand, means to work or to throw. Well, the shepherd works tirelessly to keep his sheep fed, sheltered, rested, sheared, and healthy. And he'll also throw things at approaching predators to warn them off. He'll take his shebet, his rod, the short thing that's got the root ball on one end, and it's like a boomerang, and you throw it, and it propels itself, and he can throw it and chase off predators. He can use that for all sorts of things. But he works and he can throw. He knows how to use a sling and throw those things at predators. And then the final letter there, the mem, the rough choppy water, which represents chaos and might and blood. Let's go ahead and fill these in. With the hand means to work. Let's just put the word work because he works for the sheep, right? Shepherd invests his life in the sheep. Don't, you know? And then you get to the final thing, chaos and might and then blood. We've not yet put the word blood for this symbol for water yet, but we're going to put it here because it's very applicable. If the shepherd's not willing to shed his blood to die for the sheep aren't safe. Now, that shepherd gets bloody hands, no doubt, you know, with the general work he does. You know how they build the shepherd, how he builds the fence, the little fold for a sheep, no matter what field they're in? He goes and collects all kinds of thorny, dead brush and builds a shrub the animals can't get through. So he didn't get his hands bloodied up. But the idea is he must put his own life at the line and get in front of, in those days, lions and wolves and all sorts of things to protect from the sheep. And one of the greatest shepherds in the Old Testament, the greatest, was David. And he gave his life. He put it up front for a lion and a bear. And he says, well, God saved me through that. I'm going to stand in front of this giant. And he, David, is the great shepherd of Israel. And you get a bit, you scratch your head when you read the end of Ezekiel. My head's spinning after this week. I looked at the word prince is over and over in Ezekiel, and it's not talking about the Messiah, the prince. It even says one time that the prince will bring this offering for sin. I mean, it's Jesus doesn't hold a sin offering. He's sinless. This is, he says, I will return my servant David. In the millennium, David is going to be the chief shepherd over Israel. Jesus, or the king, he's king over all the world. David's just king over Israel, you see. And so this prince is an incredible thing. David proved himself to be the best shepherd Israel's ever had. He laid his life on the line. And then, as you know, our good shepherd, the good shepherd, gives his life for the sheep. And his blood was spilled. So when you look at Elohim, and you look at how, the authority Yeshua has, and the fact that he wants to be bound to us and teach us, and he looks after us and tries his best to get us to look to him when we're looking at everything else, and he works for us tirelessly, he ever liveth to make intercession for us, and then he shed his life's blood for us. And you have all these pictures here in Elohim as a shepherd. Yes, we know he's the creator God, but this thing draws a picture of us, a picture for us in this word picture form of a shepherd in every sense of the word. And he says, I will strengthen you. Let's read over that verse in closing. We'll stand and why don't we read it together? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Father, we thank you for this good time in your word. We are overwhelmed at the depth of the word meanings, the picture meanings here, but how they colorfully and wonderfully illustrate all that you do for us. And Father, may we be inspired here in seeing that all that you do for us is that all you expect from us is faithfulness and to look at you as your servants and to be mindful of who we are serving and who our God is and help us, Father, in this difficult day to live in with the many situations that we face, Lord, where we're overcome with worries, with doubt, and even as much as fear. And that we can be overcome with fear of a thousand and one different fears, of different phobias. But we just pray, Father, you would strengthen us in these last days, for there is much to do. Servants in your house, you have a great house, and there is much to do. And may we just trust you as our great shepherd, who has all power and authority. And may we fasten our eyes on you and learn from you and be taught of you and strengthened of you, and may you nourish us. Our bodies do need nourishment. Our heads at times need nourishment, for the battle is in the mind, but then our spirit needs nourishment. And we thank you for giving your life's blood for us as the great shepherd. We just thank you over and over again for all that you do for us. All that you do. In your Son's wonderful name we pray.